Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion. It's the Atlantic Voice Podcast and I'm Zeph. And once again, this is one of those times when I'm alone in the new basement studio by the lake. But as always, I don't do this show without my partner, so Eric will be joining us, if only in rerun form. Now, to be fair, he is on holiday with the other member of the household, a safari, he says, but back here, the show must go on. Now, unless you've been living under a rock, and let's hope my partner is being careful turning over any rocks off on his trip to whatever far-flung country he's on safari in, well, you'll know that the new Star Wars film is just around the corner. Now, it should be a slam dunk for the biggest film of the year. Though, I think we were all a little bit surprised at how successful Jurassic World was. So, let's say, if nothing else, it's going to be a safe bet that The Force Awakens, as the new Star Wars film is called, it's going to be the blockbuster of the holiday season, if not the whole year. So anyway, that's why, with my partner indisposed, we thought we'd give you a little Star Wars special, Atlantic Voice style. Longtime listeners of the pod know that Eric and myself fancy ourselves as film buffs. Apart from our famous summer movie previews, we're always happy to talk cinema, whether it be my favourite, James Bond, or Eric's favourite, Star Wars, though I know he can be a little circumspect about his fandom. As it happens, the making of The Force Awakens, well, it's gone on as nearly as long as our show has been on the air. So let's go back to November of 2012 to one of our very first shows. I think if you go in the archives, it's called Picking a President, and it emanated from the old Atlantic Voice Studios in a basement far, far away.
All right, so the president, the world's most important man, let's switch to the universe.
And the most important man in that, or at least the inventor of an entire other universe or galaxy or whatever the galaxy far, far away, right?
Galaxy far, far away. The big news around the same time as the election, Disney Corp, is that where they are? They bought, am I correct here? They bought Lucasfilms, or they bought the rights to Star Wars for $4 billion.
They bought Lucasfilm, whole kit and caboodle, which includes all the rights to Star Wars, which includes Industrial Light and Magic, that does all the production work and special effects, and not only in the Star Wars movies,
but
lots of different movies.
Does that also include the Raiders of the Lost Ark franchise?
It does, in fact, include the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's interesting, a bunch of the stuff in the news has talked about that basically... Some people I saw, I think it was in Forbes, I can't remember, but it was definitely a financial press that said basically the $4 billion alone, I mean, the value of the Star Wars franchise enough is almost certainly worth the $4 billion. I mean, given what they're talking about, and they're already talking about the three
that's
movies.
That's a lot of Lego.
Well, but that's all the things it's in.
So that's everything.
Yeah, they're already talking about three movies. We'll get to some talk about the movies to come in a moment, but they're talking about doing movies forever. Like, you know, like the Bond thing, that they're talking about movies every couple of years, coming out every couple of years with a movie. You know, because of the theme parks and all the other things, there's already a certain amount of integration of Star Wars stuff into those things, that there's a thing called Star Tours at both of the theme parks already that involves you taking a interactive tour through basically a Star Wars plot where you go different directions. It's not that you choose them, but it goes different directions, so there's something like 500 different permutations of taking this ride.
Oh, wow.
And it's all these sort of things that I saw a horrible, when I was doing a little research on this, I saw one thing online that was really kind of depressing, and I don't know if this was Disney related or not, but it was a dance-off between the main characters.
Yes, I saw it on YouTube.
The first trilogy and the second trilogy, where they all faced off and they did all this dancing and trying to compare all their skills, and I believe the prequel folks won, at least on the YouTube thing that I saw.
What's George Lucas, what's he going to do now then? I mean, he sold it to Disney. You've just indicated that he wants to put it in the hands of some people that he trusts to carry it forward. Right. Well, what's he going to do? Is he just going to go and play golf every day?
My impression is that he's going to be involved in the new Star Wars coming up. He apparently, this is funny because when you look at things, there are times when he said there were no sequels. There are times when he said he'd written the whole things. Apparently, as part of this purchase, there is a... page treatment, basically. You know,
they get his ideas.
Right, they get all the ideas.
They get his intellectual property.
They've already contracted with a writer.
They get his force.
With His name's Michael Arndt, who is the writer of Toy Story 3, Little Miss Sunshine, and the new Hunger Games. Not the Hunger Games that's already been out, but the next Hunger Game that's coming out, which I forget what the subscript is for that. Well, he's written all those, and so he's already been contracted to write the first of the next set of Star Wars movies.
Oh, wow.
Based on that treatment. I'm pretty sure, though, that Lucas is going to stay involved with this sort of stuff.
Is another Hunger Games movie coming?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, there's a bunch of books. I think we're getting a whole bunch of those.
Hunger Games, Hunger Games 2, I'm feeling a little peckish. Hunger Games 3, Midnight Snack.
Hunger Games, Presidential Debate.
That presidents can fire crossbows.
Exactly.
To see who would be the best president in the event of a nuclear Armageddon.
That might be pretty good. So it'll be interesting. This gets into another topic.
Well, let me say this, though, because I want to... You said that the fella's now been contracted to write.
Mm-hmm.
Is he writing prequels or sequels? Or is there anything leaked out? Because most people at the end of the day, we want to know what's going to happen.
Right. I think it's supposed to be sequels, you know, the idea being that the original trilogy that we all think about from the 70s is sort of the middle set of three. The last three that came out were prequels that led up to that, or not really led up to that, but there's a big gap, but they were the prequels, and then the next three are supposed to be afterwards. But really, while there's always been discussion, I think there was discussion what the prequels would cover beforehand, and there was a natural arc to that story. I don't know what the heck the arc is supposed to be on the next set.
I did see a story that Harrison Ford...
said he's open to it.
He's open to get involved.
Yeah, that became a big news story because, of course, over the years, he's basically said he hates it. Oh, this was the worst character ever. Other times, he loved it. You can pull up all variety of YouTube clips showing all his different positions on that. But now
that his career is in the
water, now that he's not so busy, he's very willing to come out there. And for that matter, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill both said they were interested.
With all due respect to Mark Hamill, what else has he got going on?
He does a lot of work. You know, he's not acting
in video games.
No, he does a bunch of voiceover on I think cartoon work on TV, cartoon work, and some fantasy thing. I think he's gainfully employed.
Okay,
he's probably like the more I look at this, he's probably the more level-headed of the three, really, at this stage of the game. You know, last thing I've seen of Carrie Fisher is when she was doing her solo on-stage bit where she talked about her electroshock therapy, and she's just very kind of interesting. What's interesting? I
mean, that would make a heck of a sequel, though.
That's right. I did. You know, it's funny. You think of Harrison Ford. I'm trying to think of the last movie I saw him in, probably in that Indiana Jones, and he didn't look tremendously old, but I saw some pictures of him where he looked pretty old. He's 70 years old.
But they're all like that, though, weren't they?
Yeah.
That's why they're movie stars.
Yeah. But he's 70, Mark Hamill's 61, Carrie Fisher's 56. So I think, you know, should they end up being in the next movie, I think they can genuinely be put into a role of... Like, I don't think they're going to come back as, you know, wielding their swords and their lightsabers
But this is the question I wanted to ask, though, without getting too deep into it. Because we're talking about, basically, some actors trolling for work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, and again, we're now not talking about Spider-Man or Batman, where the character remains the same and you just put new people in there, like James Bond, just put a new guy in there. Do we feel strongly enough about these characters, about Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, that we want to see those characters played by someone else, or are we more interested in seeing Harrison Ford? You know, you're a Star Wars fan. You're much more of an aficionado than I am. Do you want to know what happens to Luke Skywalker? Are you more interested in seeing those same actors doing their shtick, sort of like Golden Girls but in outer space? Are you looking at...
I'm going to choose neither of those things.
Oh, really?
Like, I think this is going to be an interesting point of what they do with the next movies, is that there isn't... The arc of their story, not their life, but the arc of their story is completed. I mean, they... blew up the Death Star. That's it. I mean, they undoubtedly had fruitful lives.
Well, they blew it up again. They blew it up twice.
Well, that's right. They undoubtedly had fruitful lives after that. But they're not going to have any stories that are really going to interest us. Like, you know, listen, story writers can talk about this. There's an arc to it. In fact, actually, the guy, Arndt, who did the writing, there's something out there where he did a big analysis of Star Wars and how it was perfectly done in that everybody's arc's completed at the same time.
So you get the big
if you fit them all together and everybody's arc completes it. Well, they all completed their arcs. You can't go back. And so I'm interested in... I would be interested in seeing these three folks, Ford, Fisher, and Hamill, show up in the next movie. But it should be really just as the launching point for whatever that story is.
So like a passing of the torch type thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And which is why I would have no interest in seeing like other people acting as them. Because if their whole role is to be sort of in a cameo role, let them do their cameo role.
Okay.
It is a lot of baggage. Like none of these stories are ever going to work the same way because we already have our own built-in pieces of the story because of these characters, and you can't dodge that. That just is what the stories are next time. There's no surprises.
And that is what makes Star Wars pretty much different. And I guess Indiana Jones is the same. But so let's just say the Lucasfilm franchises. It makes them different from all the others. All the others are films of something else. Yeah. James Bond is films originally of books, even though not anymore. Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, we all come to it. Yes, sure, people that are seeing just the films, they know that it's based on a comic strip character.
Right.
Star Wars is one of the few franchises where everything is new and everything is fresh. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, we don't think of Luke Skywalker as anyone other than Mark Hamill.
Right.
We don't think of Han Solo as a guy other than Harrison
Ford. That's what the deal is in the Far, Far Away galaxy.
Yes.
That's Luke Hamill.
Except ironically enough, Darth Vader. Who basically could be anyone. You just breathe a lot and you get a tall guy. Do you know what I mean? It's been James Earl Jones, been some other fella. He's the one character and the two robots. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then they talk about the two robots. I've seen this before, not recently, but that talk was that those would be the only things that would sort of flow through everything.
I have heard three, and I'll go through, which
is sort of comical when you think about it now that the fact that we can't keep our phones for more than 2 years without being obsolete.
Yes.
Somehow they made these robots, and they lasted 70, 80 years without any adjustments whatsoever. I mean, maybe they got new chips and things like that, but they never got smaller. I mean, R2-D2 never got a little more portable. We had to lift them up with the crazy magnetic thing to put them into the plane every time.
I have heard that the little one is playing coy about being in the new movies. He would like more money.
Yeah.
So he's bleeping a lot less because he doesn't want to make it look like a gimme that he's just going to be in it.
They're going to replace him with the one that was the Jawas were trying to sell to Mark Hamill in the first episode that blew up and things like that. But that robot is somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That robot is somewhere sitting in the storage bin just waiting for R2-D2 to hold out for more money.
He's become a bit of an android diva, so I'm told on the net.
Yeah.
So there you go. My partner, they're very weak. Disney bought the rights to Star Wars, accurately predicted what would occur. And as an aside, listening to that old clip, I'm going to boldly go and say, we're a lot better at this whole podcasting lark now. Sorry to mix sci-fi catchphrases on you there. Let's move on. We've established that Eric's a bit of a fan. In fact, let's call him a Star Warsian. And if you're not sure about that word, listen to our recent show about Mars to hear us copyright and trademark the word Star Warsian to describe a Star Wars fanatic. Speaking of trademarking and copywriting, the phrase you'll first hear me utter in this next clip covering the appointment of J.J. Abrams to the director's chair for Force Awakens, well, it's a phrase you'll get to hear an awful lot when it comes to us discussing the series. Yes, those first three movies are great. Those last three movies suck. Copyright Atlantic Voice.
We have a potpourri on the menu today of current events and what have you. We're going to plow straight in. Star Wars update.
Yeah, you know, it's been a little while since we talked about Star Wars having, meaning the whole discussion we had about ILM being sold off to Disney. You know, some things have happened since then. They've selected a director for the next one, which is going to be the episodes that follow the original trilogy. So, J.J. Abrams has been selected as a director.
Yeah, dude, it's Star Trek and TV shows and all kinds of things.
Best known for, he's done Star Trek most recently. He did, he was very instrumental in Lost in its early stages and directed some of those. He also directed, not all of them, but he was a producer also on Alias and back on Felicity. And so he's got a bit of a track record there on TV. And he's, really well thought of right now in the broadcast. He's done everybody thought he did a great job with Star Trek. There is a little bit of a tension there amongst the Trekkies and the Star Wars because he sort of defected over, and like I understand Chris Pine from the new Star Wars series. There's another Star Trek movie that has been done, and it's not been released yet. It's in finalization, right? So he did that one, but he has said that somebody else can do it. But Chris Pine was out there, I want him back, I want him to be doing my movies, kind of thing.
Well, Chris Pine is working with Kenneth Branagh in the Jack Ryan franchise. He's the new Jack Ryan.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So they're still going to milk that old sucker.
Yeah.
I want to say this, though, about... I'm a Trekkie at heart, before I'm a Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
whatever you call a Star, whatever you call them. I thought J.J. Abrams did a great job with the film, the reboot being that very popular Tollywood term for basically just using the same characters again. I remember listening to him being interviewed, and he'd said he was attracted to Star Trek because he wasn't a Trekkie.
That's right.
So, by extension, he's done a great job with a franchise that he didn't have any previous history with, and he could just concentrate on telling a good story. Are you concerned that the opposite might now apply, because he was a self-confessed Star Wars fan? Would you rather see Star Wars in the hands of someone who's not a fan than someone who... There's an old saying... You shouldn't let fans anywhere near what they love mm-hmm. because their idea of what they like is entirely different to what the regular audience are going to.
Yeah, I don't think I'm worried about it. I mean, he's not writing it. I'm sure he'll have a big role in what it's going to be. There's a different producer, you know, that Kathleen Kennedy or whatever her name is, who's taking over all the productions, producing it. And the writer is that guy, Arndt, whatever his name is.
Did you do Toy Story 3?
The one that was like really... Toy Story 3 was really raved about. I haven't seen it myself. But,
yeah, and that but, Buzz Lightyear, he's a space character.
Yeah, right.
He's a guy in a suit.
But so I'm not too worried about it. I mean, I do have, and this is coming from a person who did like the Star Trek movie mostly, although I'll comment on something about it in a moment here. Loved Lost. I mean, just really liked Lost a lot. But there's something about the movies he does... It's like they don't have enough, or in the films and stuff, it doesn't have enough grit. It's too bright and shiny for me.
Star Trek is bright and shiny. That was always the thing about it. And we're going to talk a little bit. I'm going to mention a series a bit later when there's a topic you want to get to. Battlestar Galactica. Battlestar Galactica, the TV series, the new TV series, tried to show space in a very industrial, blue-collar, warts and all type fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek has always been sort of utopian and almost very childlike in its sort of awe of everyone's good, and it's very simplistic in that way.
Yeah, but even like on Lost, you know, even though they're in the jungle, there was a certain brightness to everything that I thought was a little bit too far. And
that was definitely the case with Felicity. I was a big fan of that show.
Is that right?
Yes, but.
I never really watched Alias, but that was my impression also of Alias. And the big thing, the reason I was going to give Star Trek a hard time is probably not a lot of people. I don't know how many people have seen it, but one of the main. What do they call it? A MacGuffin? It's like an object that has to deal with in writing things.
Just moves the story. It's a MacGuffin,
right? So, but maybe it's not a MacGuffin. But it's that big red orb of red matter. Yeah. Now, this red matter is supposed to be this futuristic discovery that powers things fantastically, and the villains get a hold of the big blob of red matter, and they take little injections of it that, like, eat up whole planets or something like that. But it was bigger than a beach ball, but just a big blob, very perfectly spherical red matter sitting in the middle of the room. It was the kind of thing that's... When I think of J.J. Abrams and things looking too polished and nice and stuff like that, the idea that this infinite energy source is in this pristine white room and it's the blob and you can inject a little piece and take it out, I just thought that was a little bit goofy. Like, I could easily see him going the wrong direction along the lines of the Jar Jar Binks and all that sort of stuff. Not in terms of plot, but just the feel of it. Like, you know, it's too polished and shiny. Yeah, exactly, like that. So I'm hoping he doesn't do that, because of what I really, you know, the original Star Wars, and maybe it was as much a product of being the late 70s, early 80s filming, it had more of a grit to it, it seemed to me. I don't know how gritty the Ewoks are, but, you know, but there's some level that I'm hoping he can bring that to bear there. But other than that, I mean, I think he's very good at marshalling himself. Of course, he loves time travel, and hopefully he doesn't introduce any time travel.
Well, Star Wars has always stayed away from that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's been much more a Star Trek convention as a way to sort of lazily get through plots.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this about the new Star Wars, and we are going to talk about Star Wars a lot. It will appear a lot on the show as we head towards whenever this movie arrives, because I think it is going to be a major event. I'm now going to say something, and I'm going to trademark or copyright this phrase, because I'm going to use it a lot until the Star Wars movie appears. Those last three movies sucked. You're going to hear me say that a lot. Those last three Star Wars movies sucked. So that being said, the bar is actually quite low for J.J. Abrams.
That's probably true. Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard. He's not going to do worse. I know that.
He can't do worse. Yeah. The nose with Jar Jar Binks, the little kid, who knows what else. Jimmy Smith, Samuel L. Jackson. You can't do any worse than those films.
It's interesting. I mean, maybe part of the reason he's willing to take, he's thinking to himself, I can easily clear that bar, and everybody's going to say, better than the last three. Thank you very much.
And that's the thing. Now, the original Star Wars series is 40 years ago. It has its own iconic place in cinema history. In a weird way, what he does now is not going to be compared to that. Because you've already reached a point where, nothing is good as that.
There was a hint, however, that one of the major stars, or some of the major stars, might be reappearing in the new ones.
I did read that.
You know, Mark Hamill, at one of his conventions that he goes around to and speaks at, it was asked about it, and apparently he's very willing to talk about it. And he said, you know, George Lucas had called him up and the other main stars, saying there was a spot for them in the new movie. They were writing it in such a way. Apparently he was told, If they decided not to go in it, meaning Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, you know,
it was all for one for all type thing. They were either all in or all out. Right. That's what I read.
And moreover, if they decided not to, they would be written out. Like, in other words, it wasn't a case where George Lucas was saying, hey, I'm going to deal with something that's an old Luke Skywalker, and I want you to do it. And if you don't do it, I'm going to just find some other older guy to, like, play the role. He said, you know, if you want the job, you can have the job. If you don't, we can write around it. We don't need to have that sort of thing. And so, he obviously, Mark Hamill seemed pretty eager for it. He's obviously not a Harrison Ford, but he makes a living. He's not like he's sitting there, you know, in his mom's basement, you know.
I'm going to say this now about all three of those lead characters: Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford. They've all got plenty of time with their hands right now. We can have a go at Mark Hamill for going to conventions and voicing video games. But Ford's career of late.
Yeah, very recently, it's gotten kind of quiet.
I'm surprised. I was surprised that he was interested, and then when I thought about it, it didn't surprise me that Harrison Ford was interested, because he is a guy looking for a hit late in his career. Because he doesn't produce, he doesn't direct, so he's not like an Eastwood as he ages. He needs an acting role order to be... No, and I'm not meaning this in terms of his own ego. In terms of being on the front lines of the business, he's only got one way in, because he doesn't write, he doesn't direct, he doesn't produce.
Is he still married to Ally McBeal? Isn't that who he marrying? What's it?
Yeah, Ally McBeal. Yeah, whoever she is. But, I mean, frankly, Ally McBeal, I think that's enough. People know who we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I couldn't remember if he was still, you know, she may want him to, you know, get out there and get a paycheck, because I don't think she's getting one.
So. No, she's not working either.
Yeah. So Mark Hamill said he might be in there. The other Star Wars news, in terms of, instead of a new movie...
I want to say this. Oh, okay. He also mentioned, Mark Hamill also mentioned in the one article I read, when he talked about the whole gang, he actually named another name, I think the guy who played the gold robot. The annoying British-accented robot.
Yes, which now suddenly has gone right out of my head, playing C-3PO.
Not the little bleeping one, the other one. Again, not a Star Wars
Daniels
fan.
I think his name is Anthony Daniels.
Last movie sucked. Whatever his name is, he also mentioned...
Lando Calrissian, Billy Dee Williams, I think, in the list of people that would be there. I would not quite have thought of him as a central character, although he was in two of the movies. He was in the second and third movie.
Realistically, though, for all of us, it's the three main dudes, and then after that, I can give or take Lando, Billy Dee Williams, although I think Billy Williams is very cool back in the day. The robots are actually integral to the story.
Well, and they...
as much as they annoy me, I'm a realist to know if I go to the new Star Wars movie and we go 40 minutes and there's no robot, I'm going to sit there and go, where are the robots?
Yeah. I think he was cracking a joke about this. I don't even think it was in the recent interviews. I think he's talked about it at other times, was about, you know, he finds out the one girl he ever liked, meaning the character, finds out the one girl he ever liked was his sister. And so, you know, he's always joked about where would he go from there. Well, he in his head, he was going to end up being like Obi-Wan Kenobi off in the desert hanging out with some robots, and that was going to be it. And that is actually the way you could write him back in, that he's gone off to be a, you know, a Jedi hermit kind of thing, or, you know, training from afar or something like that. And then, you know, he kind of pops in at the beginning of the new episode to hand off the... leadership title or something like that.
I'm not sure what's weirder, the him and his sister thing or him spending all his time with those two robots.
Yeah, robots are friends.
Exactly.
When I listen back to that, I realize I think I might only have copyrighted half the phrase, just that the last three movies sucked. Curious and curiouser. Anyway, J.J. Abrams, who'd been coy back in November of 2012 and whether or not he really wanted the gig, ultimately taking the helm. Now, what we didn't play from that particular Star Wars discussion was Eric uncovering that there might be plans for a Star Wars TV series. If you don't believe me, you can go back to February of 2013 and listen to the entire episode. I think we also covered Oscar Pistorius and the discovery of Richard III's corpse. Oh yeah, we give you everything. So anyway, if there's ever a Star Wars TV series, you heard it first on the Atlantic Voice. All right, let's roll forward. It's now summer of 2012, and friend of the show Cameron, well, he stopped by the New Basement Studios by the lake to talk, amongst other topics, Star Wars, and the news that the next movie, and that's the next one, not this one, but the one after this one, if you're following me, had hired its director. There's also discussion of Harrison Ford getting hurt on set. I put the boot into J.J. Abrams, and in true Atlantic Voice tradition, we make some predictions.
I think, is there any more on that? I mean, that we could follow up on some other strands that we've discussed.
Yeah, really, dude, I know really some more Star Wars
cam
news.
In our structure. I was about to say, that's what I pulled up right here. New director for 8 and 9, because J.J. Abrams is doing 7, 8
okay.
and 9.
Now, please share with our listeners and our guests the big news for Star Wars. We haven't done any Star Wars news in about 6 months.
Well, no, big news.
I'm going to come very strong with the take in a moment.
I mean, are we talking about the same thing?
What was the Star Wars news 6 months ago?
Well, that it was coming back.
Okay.
I don't know what you're alluding to.
The new director.
Yeah, Rian Johnson.
So he did the movie Looper, which yep. is very good. I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a couple of times. If
He's
you
done
haven't
some
watched
other movies,
it on streaming yeah. cable television.
What's it called?
Called Looper. With Bruce Willis and Jonathan Gordon-Levitt Hewitt.
Jason. Oh, yeah, yeah. I did see that. That was a good movie.
Good movie, yeah. Oh, and Emily Blunt
yep.
was in it.
I think that's right.
All right. So are you ready for me to come strong
I
on the Star
J.J. Abrams wasn't...
He's doing the next
he's
one.
Doing,
not out
he's doing the... So there's 7, 8, and 9 are coming out. J.J. Abrams doing
that
7.
That are done.
No, I mean, they're going to come out
it's
over the next
out.
Like 6
Wait,
years.
They've been
whatever
made or something?
No, not made. No, oh, really, it's really okay. just still. Like, so J.J. Abrams doing 7. They recently did announce that a couple new stars. The woman, did we already talk about this?
No, we haven't
the
done
woman
Star
from
Wars
Game of
months.
Thrones, a really tall woman from England. She plays Brienne of Tarth. She's like some sort of Nordic 6'8" woman. She's going to be in the new Star Wars 7.
And, I'm looking and at you, Nod, and this is Greek to me.
Yes.
Nordic, 6'8", Game of Thrones. Princess
I forgot her name.
Of Narnia.
The Lupita, I don't know how to pronounce her name, from 12 Years a Slave.
Okay, yeah.
She's going to be in the new Star Wars also.
Right. But all the old crew are going to be in Star Wars as well. Because I heard that Harrison Ford broke
McGregor?
His ankle. No, like
no,
the old,
like
old
the
crew.
Old, like Harrison Ford.
Why are they bringing those guys back?
I think just a bridge. I think they're only going to be in the first one. But
let me tell
isn't
you why.
Is like bringing Spock back during the last Star Trek? And something
I think they're
going to
have
keep
more.
Keep on bringing them back.
But I think they're going to have more for them to do. And let me tell you why. That's because those three Star
Harrison Ford just broke his leg.
I was just about to tell you that. He just broke his leg.
So he must be doing something semi-active. No,
he was on the set of the Millennium Falcon, his spaceship. Or, well, not his, Han Solo's spaceship.
Yeah.
And apparently,
he got to keep it at the end of the show.
Oh, there you go.
He just took it home, just drove it off set.
Yeah, well. Clearly, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to insult Harrison Ford in case he's listening. Well, clearly, the time travel aspect isn't helping him because he's not aged well.
He's pretty old. No, he's aged pretty well.
Sorry, I'm still laughing about in case he's listening.
You never know. If you tweet hashtag Harrison Ford, we might draw some new people into the pod. They're going to listen to the whole show going, when are they going to talk about Harrison Ford?
And that was it.
What's his wife? His wife's the one from L.A.
Allie McBeal.
Allie McBeal.
Calista
right.
Flockhart.
So I think you'd actually have to tweet it to her and then she would tell Harrison Ford to work.
Okay, so anyway, he broke his ankle on the set of the Millennium Falcon. But you asked what they were doing with these guys. I think those guys are going to be in it a lot more. Okay.
Let me ask, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. Everyone knows my position. Those first three Star Wars movies are great. Those last three Star Wars movies suck. By bringing all those guys back, you almost guarantee that at least the first of these three movies is going to be a hit. And I think it is.
A hit doesn't mean it's good.
I think it's good for business.
The other thing that Zeph's going to like is they have pointed out they are minimizing the CGI. And like, so they showed some pictures from the set and they were like, big monster, not monsters, or animals that were real things. Like they had made up like a plastic version of them or something like
I'm
that.
I'm now going to question the wisdom of that decision. Because if they'd had CGI special
far
effects.
Far be it from Zeph to be
no,
inconsistent amongst his positions on these things.
If they'd had CGI special effects,
there wouldn't have been anything for Harrison Ford to trip up on, and they could be making a movie. Yeah. I do have a question, though. I find it interesting. So let's get this in order. The next one coming is Star Wars 7.
Right.
Even though it's kind of not in order, but it's the seventh Star Wars movie. J.J. Abrams
But it's also the seventh in chronologically, because it comes after... The original set was the middle three. Four, five, six.
Okay.
So now we're coming...
That's why they need to bring those guys back, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. They're supposed to be elders of something, you know, at that point.
So basically, the first three movies are great, but then the first three movies sucked is actually what my statement should be. Chronologically. Correct. Okay.
Right, first three chronologically.
So the seventh Star Wars movie J.J. Abrams is doing. All right.
Abrams, yeah.
Whatever. How come...
he might be listening.
How come... Well, he might be. How come he's...
Lens flare.
How come he's bailing out, not just for eight, but for eight and nine? Does that not concern you?
No.
Because if he's hitting a home run with seven, all these movie franchises, you try and go back to the same dude to do number eight.
Yeah, they did that for James Bond.
Yeah, but the first three Star Wars weren't even directed by the same people.
But that was a different time then. Why is he bailing out on number eight?
He's not bailing out.
And number nine, because they've already replaced him.
They're not replacing them. They're just having a different director. Look, TV shows have a different director every
episode. I would look at that as a replacement.
Thank you very much.
It's not.
I find it interesting.
And most people, I mean, I'm not, I know on the show you fashion me as the biggest like Star Wars fan ever. There's a lot more people out there who like know more, and they're apparently all raving about this choice because he'll bring a new story. I think people were worried about J.J. Abrams because it was just going to be a J.J. Abrams movie and it was just going to look like Star Wars and look like all his other stuff, whereas this guy brings a new sort of style, and he hasn't like sort of, he doesn't have a standard thing.
So are you both saying this will have, the J.J. Abrams, will it have critical, will it be critically acclaimed?
I'm not ready to make those predictions yet. I'm just not ready until I know nearer the time. I'll make a decision now. I've said this all the way along.
It won't be like I'm gonna go ahead and give my opinion. Predict it will be like a 75%. It's not gonna be like, well, we're over the moon, this is wonderful. But I think people will be like, pretty good. You know, this is a fun movie. You know, it's better made than the last three, which is the first three. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people will be pretty pleased. But I don't think it's not going to be like, oh, hey, Oscar nominations here all around. All
right. It's going to make a ton of cash.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. It's going to be the biggest grossing movie of next year. But again, I come back to this interesting point. I look at, like, I'm not Lord of the Rings or Hobbit or that. That's not my cup of tea. But... those movies, when they've come out, they've been done. It's been pre-decided they're going to be two or three movies. In each instance, it's been the same writer and the same director, and it's been theirs all the way through. I find it interesting.
They made it like at the same
time. They did that with Batman.
I find it interesting that Star Wars, the new Batman, all three of Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan.
I think he definitely set out to make two.
He said they signed him up for a third because it's so much success with the two. And then he's like... I don't want to be a Batman guy. I want to go back to the stuff I normally do.
I find it interesting, though, that with Star Wars, I was under the assumption that J.J. Abrams was signed up for one plus one. And I find it interesting that...
No, he wasn't even supposed to be the director in the first place.
Well, who was that?
The guy from Toy Story or whatever. Was he the writer?
No, he was the writer who got canned. He was the writer. It was always supposed to be JJ because when he bailed out of Star Trek, all the Star Trek dweebs were like, oh.
See, now we see the root of the problem because Zeff is a Star Trek guy.
No, I'm a both.
He felt abandoned.
I'm a both.
You're more Star Trek.
I lean Star Trek, yes, but I'm all to try Star Wars now and again. I just find it interesting from a film perspective that he's already been replaced for the next one.
I think it's replaced. People are doing different things.
Well, of course, what do you mean he's not been replaced? He's not doing it, so he's been replaced.
What's
by the fellow?
You
from
might
Looper.
Get one contract, but my perception is if you do a really good job in one, they want you to do more. And
what I'm saying is
they didn't ask him to do more, and there must have been a problem.
One's already not
quite as good as
one's not finished.
Makes sense.
They're still in the middle of one, and they're already having press conferences announcing the guy of two. That never happens in any franchise. No one goes, look, Bond. What's Bond is slightly different because that's 50 years and 25 films, and everyone knows it exists beyond you.
Well, I think that's the point. That's the future of Star Wars. The point is
Let me contrast this with Batman. Christopher Nolan made Dark Knight Rises. Quiet for a little while, then it was the director of Superman vs. Batman, and then he announced Ben Affleck as Batman.
I'm saying here with Star Wars, before this next Star Wars film is even finished, they've got people lying around with their feet in casts. They're already announcing the director of the next one, and it's not the guy doing it now.
I don't...
The same guy who complained about it being, I didn't want to film in London, I didn't want to do this, I didn't want to do that. He's been complaining, and all of a sudden, he's been replaced. I hope J.J. Abrams is not listening for his own benefit, because he's now hearing from me, this is the direction his career is going in.
Okay.
That's the big Star Wars.
Is that a good way to end the conversation?
I think it is.
Talk and speculation, speculation and talk. The internet is full of it. It's probably best for both you and us when there's actually something concrete to talk about. Anyway, when one is done cutting through all that talk and speculation, the internet is a great place to find the first flickers of hype. And what fuels movie hype, or should that be fuel for Star Wars movie hyperdrive hype, better than the teaser trailer? Now, it's not like in the old days. The only place to find trailers, the only place to see them, was in the cinema itself. And studios only really bothered with a single trailer, maybe a glimpse of something special, and a list of the film's stars. But now on the internet, well, you've got to fill those billions of web pages with something. And what better than trailers, teasers, and teaser trailers? Now, if there's something my partner and I have specialized in, it's drawing definite conclusions from trailers. So when the first teaser for Star Wars arrived last December, we were more than ready to give our opinion, not just on it, but also on the art of the teaser trailer, blockbuster franchises, and what it means to be a fan. Do we have anything else for 12?
We do.
You've written on the note here, you've written new Star Wars movie.
We got to talk about this. Because 12 months from now, next December...
Can I interrupt you for a moment?
The new Star Wars.
No, go ahead and finish.
The new Star Wars movie, yep. The Force Awakens, yep. Comes out.
Saw the teaser trailer.
Well, we're gonna play it as we
all right, why don't you queue up? Because I'm going to throw in my point to cover for your technical deficiencies here, because stuff doesn't seem to be starting right on time.
Pessimistic. I haven't even done anything.
Oh, no, here we go.
Look, it's right off, okay. Right in the game.
All right.
I don't know that it's a teaser trailer, so it's got little glimpses of things. I don't know if this will be very helpful for... Sure sounds like Star Wars so far.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Oh, that was a bit loud.
You've seen this before?
Yeah, I have seen it. Yeah. It's loud. There you go.
It's got good noises.
Yeah, it's got the very traditional Star Wars noises.
The dark side. And the light.
Lens flare. See that?
My partner has this. He is aglow at this moment. Watching the Star Wars trailer. He's probably been watching it 4 times a day at work. Like every time before he takes a phone call or gets up to go to John, he's like, oh, let me watch the Star Wars teaser trailer. Quick comment on
December
my part.
December 2015. Yeah. 12 months away.
That teaser trailer is out and that film is coming out in December. I'm going to throw in, not in a rivalry sort of way, I'm obviously a big James Bond guy. This couple of weeks ago, they announced the new cast of the new James Bond film. That's also coming out.
Trying to fight back.
No, that's also coming out in November. So it's interesting that Star Wars seems a lot further down the line in terms of being finished. I'm curious as to why they're waiting until Christmas to bring it out. Because
they certainly could put it out earlier.
The other teaser trailer that came out recently was the Jurassic World teaser trailer.
Yep.
The Dinosaur Park movie. If you wanted to, I would let you do your Jeff Goldblum impersonation.
No, that's all right. I haven't done that before.
You have done it, yeah. Yeah. It's a classic.
You're going to have so much fun. And remember, if something chases you, run.
With Christopher Pratt, by the way.
Who we like.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. He's all over the place now.
You know, Lego movie. Zero Dark 30.
So Jurassic World, apparently at this point, they have a fully functioning dinosaur park kind of thing. And of course, oddly enough, things go badly.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. So big shock.
As wants to be the case with dinosaurs.
I do think that movie, the Jurassic Park movies are a little bit somewhat repetitive. You go there, things go crazy, run away.
Yeah, you'd actually think that by now that anyone in the dinosaur business is actually, you know, they've completely gone broke. Yep. Anyway, that teaser trailer came out around the same time. That film's coming out in the summer.
June, yeah.
It's coming out in the summer.
We'll give it a full preview during
preview. Star Wars and James Bond will probably get a special show of their own because they're coming out close to each other. Again, as is the case with these teaser trailers, I'm not strongly wedded to either film, so I'm not that geeked up. I will say this in watching the teaser trailers, Star Wars does look like you kind of want it to look.
Yeah.
When I watched the Jurassic World trailer, it felt, and I'm now just thinking about the film. I'm not saying the film's not going to be exciting.
The shots and stuff.
Like the shots all just seem like, a whole load of computer-generated effects.
Yeah, like to my mind, it didn't really look any different than the other ones done 10 years ago. You know?
No, and like I say, the original was Steven Spielberg, even though I have hammered it for being, not hammered it. It's a good movie. I'm going to say this as I always say this. If you have a chance to read, if you've never read Jurassic Park, the book, read it.
Mm-hmm.
The book is one of the great sort of pulp bestsellers you can read. It's fabulous. I love it to death. Michael Crichton. The original Jurassic Park. I'm getting all my Jurassic nomenclature confused now. Jurassic Park mixed computer effects and like real things. When I saw the Jurassic World trailer, it just all looked fake digital effects. When I saw the Star Wars trailer, you know, there's a shot of stormtroopers, the X-Fighters, you know, everything. It just looked... So, you know, obviously teaser trailers don't come out and tease you with, this movie's going to kind of suck. They all tease you with, hey, look forward to this. Star Wars piqued my appetite. Jurassic World just piqued my curiosity.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair way to
Disney's knows what it's doing.
They're going all in. I mean, they've had
whatever stuff out. And like, so I'm excited.
You're
about
excited,
it.
Aren't you?
Sure. But I'm also skeptical. I have the same skepticism about J.J. Abrams as I always do, which is he tends to polish things up a little bit.
I can't believe I just said that.
I mean, this whole thing has been digested. There's on The Verge, there's like a scene-by-scene breakdown.
The mouth breathers are just out of control.
It's amazing. Seriously? People noted an incongruity already in the little light. There's a land speeder that somebody gets on. In one shot, it's got this thing attached to it. In the next shot, it doesn't. But it does have
Can I say this? You have ripped me in the past for being all the way in with James Bond. You ripped me in the past for that. I'm not ripping you here, but these Star Wars guys, you know something? They make me look like, I don't know. Those Star Wars guys, they are the film fan equivalent of like ISIS. They're nuts. They're all the way out there. They're completely dweebed up about everything. Them and the Star Trek people, because I'm into Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell anyone I'm a Trekkie though, because I'm like, no, those guys, they're really out there. These people are nuts. And they have digested and analyzed and re-edited and cut down this trailer like nobody's business.
Well, I'll tell you my perspective on it.
It's almost like they don't want to enjoy it.
Well, that's the one thing, like I think I've decided with it being a year out, and frankly, it was my original idea. If you listen to Hollywood Prospectus podcast on Grantland, one of the guys was talking about it. Was like, you know what? Some movies, like you'll basically say, I want to avoid information because I want to go there. In this case, it's going to be a year of this stuff. And so I'm like, the heck with it. I'm going to go ahead and look at it all. I don't need to spend a bunch of time myself personally worrying about it, but I don't mind watching other people worry about it kind of thing. But I mean, there's the interesting stuff. This is supposed to be set 30 years in the future after the original movies that we saw. And yet in these scenes, there's stormtroopers, there's TIE fighters, there's all these things that in theory, didn't we win a war at the end of the last one? So what's going on with these things going on? And so listen, you think about it, if it's an intergalactic empire, it might take some time to figure out. It is very banged up looking, which is, of course, we've talked about it in the original Star Wars. I love the bang, you know, like what I hated about the new videoized ones was that it was all shiny.
Stop for a minute.
What do you mean, stop for a minute?
Didn't you just say, didn't we win? I mean, it's not the Rebels. Real.
Sure.
Oh, come on now. All right, go finish your thought.
Which side do you root for in the Star Wars?
I actually don't. I root as an audience member. I'm not invested in the outcome of an intergalactic war in a galaxy.
Yeah. First of all, you're reading way too much into my saying we and talking about
the story. No, you're talking like one of them.
Good. Well,
I want to say this. I want to say this about the Star
Everybody
Wars.
Everybody should check it out. You won't get any spoilers out of that.
No, I'm going to say
this. Got a guy with a lightsaber with two things sticking out the side.
I'm not so dweebed up about it. I like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, those first three movies are great. Those last three movies are crap. Copyright Atlantic Voice. I'm not... We have covered in the past, you know, I think on our last regular show a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about Interstellar. There's sometimes the danger with teaser trailers. For me, I get far too geeked up. I got geeked up about Prometheus, and then I was disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I got geeked up about Interstellar. I walked out, I was slightly disappointed. Because I'm not as invested in Star Wars, I'm like, yeah, the teaser trailer, in a weird way, the teaser trailer, when I see it, I don't watch it as a fanboy. So I see it and I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty good. And that's all it means. And I'm not knocking it. What it means is I'm probably, because I will go when it comes out. I already know that I'm not going to have the sense of disappointment. If a James Bond movie came out and it was rubbish, I would be crushed. I'd be depressed and angry because I would have been super geeked up with teasers and trailers. Star Wars, because I'm not so invested in it.
Right, sure.
I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty good. Yeah, I'll go and watch it.
But realize what you're saying here is that you're giving a hard time to people who are geeked about Star Wars, and you're getting geeked about a movie series that has none of the geekdom type of properties that are worth getting geeked about.
No, let me say something.
The James Bond movies. This isn't even real. James Bond.
Star Wars isn't even real.
Neither is James Bond.
Yeah, but it could be real.
Well, so
there's no planet a long way, way away with people running around who look just like us and speak stupidly.
Prove it.
I don't need to prove it.
You don't know what's real?
What does logic tell
you? That's what I say. You don't know what's real. Logic I'm just going to rest on it. You know what's real. but listen, you're totally geeked about it. People can be geeked about it. I think it's going to be fun to embrace. I agree. I mean, it's clearly going to be better than the movies, the last three movies. But it's, you know, it does run a risk of being... not as much as the hype's going to build it up to be in the next year.
You know what?
And the trick is, right, here's the problem with the modern thing. It invariably will be considered a letdown. Like, movies nowadays are only going to turn out to be great movies.
I'm going to half agree with that.
About it, because as long as this thing is hyped up, it could never live up to the hype. It could be a fantastic movie, and people aren't going to be like, wow, that was even better than I thought it might be for the past year.
I'm going to half agree. Maybe a couple people. I'm going to half agree with that statement that it's going to be a letdown. I half agree.
I don't mean that it'd be a personal letdown. I mean it'll be treated like a letdown in the blogosphere.
I'm going to half agree with that. And this is sort of the problem with the last three movies that were done. And I do love the first three Star Wars movies. The original, I mean, I was 11 when I went to see that. I was blown away. Empire Strikes Back, love it. The one with the Muppets, not so much. But the first two, and when they come on TV now, yeah, I'm going to sit and have it on. And I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to enjoy it. Clearly, after the last three, I mean, those things were dire. It's not going to be a letdown, because from just the teaser trailer, I'm going to make a brave statement. There's no way this movie's going to suck as bad as those last three movies.
Well, that's right.
But here's the danger for it, and this is why I'm half going to agree with your letdown statement. Clearly, when you watch the teaser trailer, it echoes all the great things from the first three movies that you saw. A shot in the Millennium Falcon. A little robot bleeping and blooping, an X-Fighter. And so the nostalgia in people our age is, it's just going to be like those first three movies. In a weird way, though, once you go and come out of it, I think the danger with the new series is it has to chart the course of going, look, this is like your father's Star Wars, kids, if you're 17 years of age, this is like your dad's Star Wars, all right? The trouble is, the challenge for the series is it just going to echo those first Star Wars, or is it going to become something new and fresh? And that's the challenge that it faces.
Well, that's...
And I do think it's going to accurately take us back to those 1977. You and I are going to sit back and go, oh, thank God, this is just like the Star Wars we watched as a kid. I think the danger for the series is, well, where's it going to go next? George Lucas tried that with the last three films. Disaster.
Tried.
He couldn't take it anywhere else.
Oh,
so you ended up you watched all those Attack of the Clones movies and you go, this is rubbish.
Now that you have something like Disney who runs, you know, they run the Marvel franchises now, and that stuff is mapped out 20 years from now, like what they're going to do. The plan here is not just to do the three movies on the back end that were originally in the George Lucas plan. This is basically they're looking at we're inventing our own Marvel comic series. So we could go all kinds of different directions. We could have a Star Wars movie that would be just like you have an Iron Man movie and an Avengers movie. You can have all these things that are different ways. I'm obviously at that point, they're not all going to be great. They're just going to be a thing.
But this
is like its reintroduction to us all.
Sure.
I think it runs a very good chance of being very good.
It's going to be very good and very successful.
Right.
I think
it's going to make so much money. It's going to be ridiculous.
I think the greater issue is where it goes after that. And that's what I mean by this film could be half a letdown. Not that in itself it's going to be a letdown, but unfortunately, it's like any of these series is that reboot. Reboots themselves tend to be very successful because you ride along on that nostalgic wave of it's kind of like the old one. Yeah. I look at the recent reboot of Spider-Man. The first one, very well reviewed. The second one, people are going, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I suspect that Star Wars, The Next Generation, whatever it's called, the next Star Wars, everyone's going to go, oh, reboot, nostalgia, great, ha ha ha. I think it's what happens with the one after that.
Yeah.
Where does that go?
We're going to see it because they're going to set the table. Like, unlike the first Star Wars, which was potentially going to be its own movie, so it was encapsulated, you know, like The Empire Strikes Back ended on a cliffhanger, basically. Not cliffhangers, but it ended incomplete because the rest of the story, you know, at the end of it, we had Han Solo getting carted off and all this sort of
thing.
Well, this one is clearly going to end with a certain amount of openness. Now, I guess maybe they do it like the Marvel movies where it is a full movie, but you've got bits and
they're
pieces
all like that
to
nowadays,
pick up.
So, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like the Dark Knight made that decision. So. The minute the Dark Knight did that, they're all like that. At the end of the Dark Knight where Batman's running away, your 2.5 hour experience with the Joker is complete.
Fringes.
But there's enough for you to go, I want to see the next one.
Right.
So I think
little fringes.
So I think the bottom line is, if it's not George Lucas, it's crap.
There you go.
See, we don't just sit in the New Basement Studios and make shallow observations or trot out hackneyed one-liners. We actually do have the capability for an intelligent and intellectual back and forth. I mean, look what we covered in that clip. Being a fan, the power of nostalgia, the relationship between anticipation and disappointment. It's pithy stuff. And yet I still found a moment to compare Star Wars fans, or Star Warsians, copyright Atlantic Voice, to ISIS extremists. All right, one more trailer to spark conversation. From this April's Two of Everything episode, it's Star Wars, Superman vs. Batman, Star Wars vs. Batman, Marvel vs. DC vs. Disney vs. Oh, I give up.
But really, the biggest news of the week, or
biggest news of
a week and a half or something,
month.
I can't remember.
The biggest news in a month.
Yeah.
Let's say that month.
Let's see. We'll just listen in. Maybe. That sounds familiar.
Oh, it does sound familiar, yeah.
So I think we'll probably have to talk over, because we do have some...
The Force is strong in my family.
I don't want to interrupt Mark Hamill.
My father has it.
There's an echo on it. I didn't realize, like, until we had this on headphones.
Oh, yeah.
You have that power, too.
You? Who's you? It's another person.
Oh, yeah. My partner's getting a bit engrossed in what he's watching, so I am going to tell you we are currently watching the Star Wars Force Awakens official trailer number 2.
Yeah, teaser trailer, right? So it's lots of little clips. We saw a silver stormtrooper.
Chewie, we're home.
So it's the second teaser trail, the other one didn't really have anybody we knew, but this one has the voice of Mark Hamill talking about the Force.
Apparently the hand of Carrie Fisher, That's her hand.
Oh, in the passing of the lightsaber.
Yeah, there's a moment there for those of you who have not seen this and are not completely dweebed up, although I imagine that's only about seven people in the whole world because this thing has been downloaded like 96 billion times.
Yeah.
That is apparently, there's a scene where someone is handing someone a lightsaber.
Right. And it's definitely internet, a female hand to female hand.
Internet experts have said that that is actually the hand of Carrie Fisher. Mm-hmm. So you hear Mark Hamill, you see her hand, and then because he's the biggest star, you actually see and hear all
Chewbacca.
Of Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
So there you go. Star Wars.
Chewbacca doesn't look like he's aged a day. I mean, there's no gray hair or anything like that. He looks pretty good.
Those of you who know that I'm of the position that those first three movies are great, those last three Star Wars movies sucked, copyright Atlantic Voice, I will say this. That last teaser trailer is very good.
Yeah,
looks pretty good. I was actually a little nervous about this film, and I know you and I have discussed it. I watched the trailer, and for a brief moment, I was entirely geeked up as well.
Yeah. I will say the very end there with the Chewbacca, we're home, little cutesy, you know, but hopefully that's...
yeah, but that's Star Wars, isn't it?
The beginning into it, all the shots and stuff like that. So, I mean, I have not done the full, like, investigation, see what everybody said. I do know people have said things about, like, that lightsaber and, like, which lightsaber it is. Is it the one that Luke lost when he had his hand cut off, or what is it? Haven't gotten too involved in that.
The biggest,
we did have R2-D2 in that, too, yes. Actually. Not the new tennis ball one, but...
No, the proper... Yeah. You know, one of the old-school robots. Yeah. The big discussion I read was whether Mark Hamill's voiceover was from the last three movies or if it was the same script but re-recorded, or it sounds like it but he said something different, and there just seemed to be in the way that
I think it does. It seems to be like a spin-off of like when he says, you know, I had it. It's when he tells Leia that you're my sister kind of thing, I think, and my sister has it too. Because but the you part, it's got to be somebody new. It's got to be a kid, which people have speculated it's Han and Leia's kid.
Oh, okay. I want to say this about the trailer, and again, I know because this is podcasting, not an internet TV show, so you haven't seen it. When I looked at it, it is all put together, and clearly the film that these clips are from is being filmed in such a way that it looks
real.
It looks like the Star Wars that came out. What's going to be now 40 years ago?
Right, 40 years. Isn't that funny though? Like, here's we're striving to do is to make. Don't want to use any of these new computer graphics to want to reduce those. Like, the first shot is a big shot of the spaceship that's crashed into the planet. It looks very much like those. You know, remember when they used to talk about the making of Star Wars? They talked about the matte paintings.
Yes,
like they'd have these big paintings on glass they could use as backdrops for shots. It looks very much like that. So it looks.
Somebody else
in the household said it looked fake, but I. In a way, I guess it does look fake, but it looks real.
It looks real fake.
Like, look real movie, you know, like...
It doesn't look fake.
Right, it doesn't look real like computerized.
Yes, but everything about it, obviously the clips that they've chosen, it just has the way it's lit. It has this sheen where it easily...
It's got the grit that I talked about. Like, it's not like it's dirty, but it has like... It feels like all the little particles of your shot are...
Yes.
Real.
Yes, it's
true. Like, instead of being smoothed out and like color schemes being too homogenous because it's computerized.
But I will say this: the minute the trailer shows shots of X-wing fighters and TIE fighters in their cockpits, or there looks like there's a scene that, you know, some laser fight and stormtroopers in what looks like some sort of a spaceship aircraft hangar type thing, there's suddenly that contrast where it looks like that very black, silver, shiny interior of the Dark Star. Remember the first time you saw it it on screen? Death Star, sorry. Dark Star, actually a parody of science fiction movies made by John Carpenter in 1972, where there is a talking nuclear bomb that decides to self-detonate and the astronauts have to reason with it to stop it blowing the ship.
Not to be confused with the Muppet movie Dark Crystal.
Yeah, no. But no, it looks like 1977 Star Wars. Like, it looks like that film. And I remember watching it and I'm thinking, oh yeah. And all my reservations about the new Star Wars things did wash away.
Coming out in Christmas, by the way.
A couple of interesting things I wanted to say about it though. And I don't want to get too deep into the movie stuff because we're about to embark on the next show of our start of our summer movie preview. Obviously, this is Star Wars is a J.J. Abrams film. J.J. Abrams responsible for the last two Star Trek reboots. I know they're working on the third. I found the shot of the large spaceship crashed Mm-hmm. I found that very interesting. Because one of the great things that J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek was there's a couple of scenes early in the movie, and there's even a scene in the second movie where the Enterprise, one, it's under the sea, or in the first movie, you can see it being built. And it's one of the few times that when you do something like that, what you're doing is you are it's a storytelling thing. I'm with it with just 1 3-second shot, I'm letting the audience know that this machinery is very, very big. When I watch the Star Wars trailer, when you see the big, battle cruiser?
It's a Star Destroyer, I think.
I'm sorry, yes, please correct me if I don't know what I'm talking about. When you see that crashed on the ground, I look at it and I go, oh yeah, that's really, really big.
Yeah.
When you watch the old Star Wars movies and you watch the Death Star, everyone goes, yeah, it's the same size as a planet. But you never really know that because the action only takes place in small corridors and small places. I just found that one shot like an interesting J.J. Abrams narrative touch to go, look at the size of this thing. And you can only anything in space, you can only tell how big it is when you put it on the ground.
Well, we may have talked about this before. There's a website out there that basically has the relative sizes of all the different spaceships from a bunch of different movies and things like that.
Which you never sent me the link for.
Is that right?
Yeah, I remember.
But even within Star Wars, there's like really big differences between even like the different ships that you don't really know about. But what's funny is that it then gets into like these other much more obscure sci-fi franchises where like the things are like 1,000 times bigger than the Death Star. It's kind of kooky beyond the realm of reason. You know, one of the interesting things about this, so this trailer comes out very shortly thereafter, came out a trailer for the Batman versus Superman movie, which is not coming out till
next summer,
2016.
I thought it was very early for a teaser trailer to come out. Yeah,
and the you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who didn't watch on the internet, meaning all the blogs and things like that, talking about the Star Wars, who wasn't like, this is pretty cool. Almost everybody said the other one was horrible. Like oh my goodness, they're going to ruin this whole franchise. Mostly, I think around Superman because. Superman's being made into super dark, like they're battling. I mean,
the premise of the trailer that Superman is an evil god,
or you know, the people are rising up against the idea of Superman, some sort of otherworldly god. You know,
I want to make a couple of comments about that trailer. One, it was very dark.
Yeah,
and two, I guess because the movie is still a year away.
Who's the director of that one? Everybody was trashing the director.
Is it Brian? It's not Brian Singer.
No,
someone else. Why don't you look it up and I'll make my point. The trailer is very dark. All the images are very dark and black. It's a lot of voiceover. It's actually a trailer. It's actually a good trailer to listen to because you actually have to listen to it to get any sense of what's going on. Obviously, the film is still over a year away because they didn't seem to have a lot of footage to actually put in their trailer. Whereas I would imagine that when you go to see Star Wars: The Force Awakens, all the images you've just seen in the trailer, you're going to see in the movie. I think Superman versus Batman, or is it Batman versus Superman? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's true. I may be getting it backwards. That's right off the bat a problem for them.
Yeah. It's very dark, not a lot of footage, but a lot of voices, a lot of interesting. Batman
versus Superman: Dawn of Justice, which Dawn I think is Justice. Because it then brings you into. I think this is all part of DC Comics. Sorry, I totally interrupted.
No.
All part of DC Comics, which is the major competitor to Marvel. Like all the things that we think about, the big comic strips, those are all Marvel-based. Superman, Batman are DC Comics.
That's right.
And is Spider-Man DC too?
No, Spider-Man is Marvel.
Okay.
Green
Spider-Man's a weird character because it's like the rights that have been traded around.
Hornet or Green Lantern was DC, one of the green guys. Wonder Woman is DC.
Right. So the plan here is they're trying to do what Marvel's done, is they're going to create like a whole franchise world where they can move everybody back and forth. This is supposed to be the kickoff. It does seem like a weird way to kick off in the Justice League and things like that by having them battle. I imagine they're going to come to terms by the end or something.
I'm sure they'll be friends, yeah.
But it isn't like they're not, you know, the fact that they're fighting with each other. Zack Snyder. Right, who's best known for like 300, Sucker Punch, and these kind of like, he also did Man of Steel, but...
Did you see Man of Steel?
Yeah.
Was it good? I remember I hammered it. If you go back to our movie preview of a couple of years ago, I hammered it.
And then, I thought it was all right. I mean, it's not great. I mean, neither one of us is really big into the cartoon-based movie, the comic.
No, I mean, I think I said at the time that, I'll give Batman a go. Unlike you, I've seen one Spider-Man movie. I've really not seen I'm not interested in the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just not my thing. I'm not criticizing them as films, and I know we'll talk about that in the summer movie preview that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not my thing. I do remember watching the Superman movies when I was a kid.
He did Watchmen too.
Okay. It was interesting. I thought, like I say, for a trailer, the voices were most interesting. You hear Jesse Eisenberg's voice. He's going to be playing Lex Luthor. You hear the voice of Jeremy Irons, the new Alfred.
Right.
You hear the voice of Holly Hunter, because she's got that sounding voice. I don't know who she's playing.
She's playing a mother to somebody. I forget what it is.
But not Superman's mother, because Superman's mother is Diane Lane. Or Kent, Clark Kent, whatever. Diane Lane. Because remember in the Superman movie, wasn't it Kevin That's Costner true. And Diane Lane? So again, there wasn't much in the trailer. There's a couple of glimpses of, you know, Batman in his bat suit. There is one image of Batman standing alone atop a very tall building, a very classic Batman shot from both the comic strips and the Christopher Nolan films, sort of, you know, imagery. There's just one shot, close-up of Ben Affleck, I think.
Yeah. I think he's just staring at his costume.
He's just staring at his costume, clearly torn about whether he should return to battiness. but yeah, that's Batman versus Superman. But yeah, that didn't seem, that sort of sunk like a stone in terms of public opinion.
I imagine, you know, it's so far out, they got a lot of time to revisit what they're doing and kind of think of how they're going to spin this thing. But
the start, the Star Wars thing,
it wasn't a very good start.
I'm not going to lie. When I watched the start, I remember when I sent you the link, I ran across it. And again, I wasn't... Everyone knows I'm this way about James Bond, and we're not going to talk about that teaser trailer. But I, for some reason, I was just at a website during the day, and the story, I think it was at Deadspin, and it, you know, the third thing down was, Star Wars trailer is here. So I immediately watched it and figured out that, oh, wow, I'm watching this within 1 hour of it being released on the internet. I felt very cutting edge. And then I sent it to you. I think you replied with excited profanity.
That's right.
And I figured you would, because you're all in on Star Wars. But I will say this. When I watched the trailer, I'm a lot more cynical about it. I was like, I think you and I had taken the position a year ago that it couldn't be bad. It probably wasn't going to be great, but it was going to be enough to get everyone back involved.
Right.
You can't base anything off trailers, although I know that we do. When I watched the trailer, I'm thinking, yeah, there's no way this is going to suck. So even the result of two teaser trailers, I've now changed my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to take back everything I said before that clip, everything about Eric and I having insightful and incisive discussion. I mean, listen to us right there. It couldn't be bad. It's not going to be great. I mean, who needs the New York Times when you've got analysis like that? Anyway, this has been a quick parallel history of the making of the new Star Wars. At least this is what you would have learnt if all you listen to was the Atlantic Voice podcast. Hopefully you're getting more cultural input than just Eric and I. Anyway, in putting this together, I also realized how much other stuff that we had to leave out. Eric went into great detail on the original Disney deal that they did with Lucasfilms to get the rights. Also, if you go back to the blog, www.atlanticvoice.net, and go into the archives, I think you can listen to the 2012 Christmas special, and you hear us break down an old Star Wars TV show, like a one-off TV special, where Carrie Fisher, as Princess Leia, sang. Yeah, a complete song. Also, from the 2013 Best of episode, you can hear Eric doing a Jar Jar Binks impression. Actually, no. Let me get that for you right now.
They then cut to a picture of Jar Jar Binks, and they said, "Misa late waiting on the phone." You know, like basically, you know, you're bringing back the old stars. You must be bringing back Jar Jar Binks.
That was your Jar Jar Binks accent.
That's right.
Was it modeled on anything in particular?
Jar Jar Binks.
Okay.
We'll finish the show with one thing that got left out of this year's Atlantic Voice Best of Show, and it should have made it because, as I said at the time, out of all the observations my partner has ever made, I count this one as one of his most accurate, even more so than his declaration that the TV show Chips was horrible. Check out this year's two-part TV theme tune special from April for that. Anyway, we'll sign off with Eric comparing Han Solo's spaceship, the Millennium Falcon, to Steve McQueen's Ford Mustang from the 1968 movie Bullet. And there's also yours truly taking a shot at, and I quote, deranged super fans. This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph. And on behalf of Eric, take care.
Listen, if you like your
spaceships with little bumps and wheezes.
There's
and
only things one.
Like, there's only one. It's the Millennium Falcon.
Millennium Falcon.
And we were together over the weekend and at an event with other people. And you just turn to people. Although one or two people did say Star Trek, the Enterprise. But by and large, you go, "What's the best spaceship ever? Millennium Falcon." I mean, how can you go wrong with it?
You know what's great about the Millennium Falcon?
It made the Kessel run in 12 parsecs.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so it's not slow.
It's small.
It is much smaller than I thought.
It's small. So at a certain level, the fantasy part of you thinks, yeah, if I did that, I could probably own one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I like most about it? This can be really weird.
It's 26.7 meters, by the way.
You know what I like about it is most spaceships in the movies tend to be sort of symmetrical. The Millennium Falcon is not.
Oh,
it's got a bit sticking out the
side.
So what I'm saying is, you know, like a favorite old car, we're going back to 1981 Fords again, it's got some personality to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like another cookie cutter. Again, when you watch Star Trek, all those spaceships kind of look the same thing. Two bits sticking out, the engines, a big brown thing on top. Everyone's got the same spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
The Millennium Falcon, there's no one out there with another Millennium Falcon.
The Millennium Falcon is like... It's like the Mustang 390 GT 1968.
Fastback.
Steve from Bullet. Steve McQueen, which we're listening to now. There's another
McQueen's
car you'll hear in here that's the Charger it's Magnum 440, also from 1968, which at first I was thinking when I tuned this in, I was thinking the Falcon would be more like that, but looking at the Fastback, I mean, it's just got that big lump on the back.
Yeah.
And it's just very much like the Millennium Falcon.
You know, in all the years we've been doing this show, that might be one of the greatest metaphors or whatever you've suddenly put together. The Millennium Falcon is just like Steve McQueen's Mustang from Bullet. Because you are on the money right there. It's gone. It's cool.
It's fast, bucket of bolty, a little bit rackety. Like the he goes around the corner and the hubcap flies off.
But here's the difference with a Mustang.
Well, that might have been the Charger. That the
pretty much anyone with a regular job and decent credit could have bought a Mustang.
Yeah.
Not all of you can't all buy a Ferrari. What's great, what I said about the Millennium Falcon before knowing you were going to compare the two is, when you watch Star Wars, you think, yeah, that'd probably be the spaceship I would end up in.
Well, you remember how he got it, don't you?
Well, you didn't
gambling with Lando Calrissian.
Exactly. You and I, we would have to work an awful long time in order to save off enough money to buy one of the big battle cruisers.
The Heart of Gold, that's going to cost a fortune.
Big battle cruiser, no way. Millennium Falcon?
Zaphod Beeblebrox stole the Heart of Gold, so that kind of solved that problem. But
we could find a way to cobble together our earnings and own a Millennium Falcon. Yeah.
But I want to talk about it being, it is definitely, like I said, sort of 26.7 meters according to little things. There's a couple of websites that have like...
Can I ask, where did you get all this from?
There's a bunch of websites that have these grids that compare all the fictional spaceships. And so like a bunch of ships are usually like in Star Wars, you know, at the very beginning of the first Star Wars, meaning...
I'm going to say something right now before you finish. Hearing about these websites, I mean, you're all the way out there in geek territory. The depressing thing is the minute you send me the link, I'm going to waste 3 hours at my desk at work looking through it.
So this thing has it has them all done to scale. So it has like people.
But how do they know that?
Well,
how does anyone know what the scale of the Starship Enterprise
is? Some is fill in the blanks, but I think when it comes to like Star Trek and Star Wars, my guess is what they do is they get production people who like, no, when we built this, it was supposed to be this big, and they give out the information.
If I'm the dude putting the model together and you come to me and go, oh, hey, Zeph, I've got this website.
I don't mean website. Like me you can buy a Star Trek book that lists everything.
I'm writing a Star Trek book for those geeko guys. Can you tell me how big the Millennium Falcon is? If I'm the dude at the studio who's just following the instructions and banging plywood together to make the prop Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, but that's not the guy
I'm going
to
tell you anything.
I'm
going
to the guy who designed it.
It's 30 yards long and it's 25. And in real life, it would have an engine that could go 71 parsecs an hour.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you anything just to fob you off because I'm thinking, here's another of these deranged super fans who think this is all real.
The trick is a bunch of those people hammer in the things. They're super geeks too. And so they're kind of into it. But so it's really... when you show it, like the X-Wing fighter.
It is little.
The X-Wing fighter is the other big, you know, like the rebel ship. And that's pretty cool, too. It's kind of pointy and it goes around. That one, you can't walk around. See, this is what throws me off is because the Millennium Falcon, they walked around in. Sure, they had to duck their head a lot, but they had bunks
quite
and
things ground,
like that. And they had a bunch of space in there. The X-Wing fighter, which really is just a single-seater, you know, basically you sit in the middle. That's more than half as long as the Millennium Falcon.
I'm going to tell you why. Because I remember, I'm now going to relate.
You can hear everybody saying, I've been listening long enough. I'm going to turn this off now.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Atlantic_Voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.